You're listening to Amy Keeps It Creepy, the podcast where I share my obsession with true crime and the paranormal with you. I'm your host, Amy Brooks. An eccentric man who couldn't take no for an answer. A dead woman lavished with gifts from her creepy sugar daddy. A DIY vagina made out of cardboard and mortician's wax. This is the shocking and very disturbing tale of Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, the corpse bride. Happy Valentine's Day, creepsters. I hope you have a sexy, romantic week planned with your special someone. I am a romantic myself, and I love the idea of celebrating love. And I don't mind the flowers and chocolate that comes with it. Although, this year, I dropped a couple of alternative gift hints to my Valentine in the form of Amazon links to some ghost hunting equipment that I've been eyeing. Come on, what says romance better than a paranormal boo bear? Do you guys know what that is? It's an adorable, overly priced stuffed bear that detects changes in EMF, movement, temperature changes, and vibrations. And it responds to those changes in a cute, friendly voice. Do you want to be my friend? That's actually one of the phrases it says. So horror show. And another one is, that tickles. It says that if it's being touched, I swear. You know, like touched by an unseen creepy kid spirit. I guess the idea is that spirits respond to certain trigger objects. I think that's why every haunted house I've been in has the designated haunted doll room. And speaking of ghost hunting, thank you to my listeners who overwhelmingly encouraged me to post my paranormal adventures on YouTube and Instagram. I've been trepidatious about it because I have filmed some truly amazing evidence of paranormal activity, and I'm scared people are going to think I'm a fraud. But I trust what you think. So thank you for the encouragement. I'm going to post the first video on Thursday, February 11th, on my new YouTube channel, Toxic Content. And you will be able to get highlights and behind the scenes on my new Instagram, at Amy Keeps It Creepy. Okay, I'm going to give you a little sneak peek, though. I'm going to play some EVP clips that were recorded from the first episode where I investigate Griffith Park. The EVPs from this episode were recorded on either an external recorder or the camera. Or actually, in some cases, on both, which is crazy. All right, you ready for this? Okay, I'm going to play you the first clip.
Rand and Nancy, are you here with me?
Did you hear it? It's saying, I am. It sounds like a man to me. And that man talked throughout my whole investigation. All right, here's clip number two.
Is this the tree that killed you?
Okay, I clearly heard an out. They actually asked me to leave several times. And I will tell you that when I was there, I had the creepiest feeling that something did not want me to be there. They asked me to leave several times, including in this clip, which if you listen to the podcast, you've heard me play this before, because it's the clearest EVP I've ever recorded.
Please.
Out, please.
Please.
Yeah, that was recorded from that investigation. All right, here's clip number three. This is an interesting clip. I talk about my family, and then I ask the spirits if they regret that they never had the opportunity to have children. I got three different responses on both the camera and the external recorder.
Nancy, are you sad that you never got to have a baby?
I think the female is saying yes. Then she says on a different device, a little bit. And then the male voice speaks up and says, yes. I'll play it for you one more time.
Nancy, are you sad that you never got to have a baby?
Wow. Well, obviously a question that hit home for them. And here is one last clip.
But I just get the feeling now that you don't want me here. And so I'm going to respect that.
I think it's saying yes, like agreeing with me that they don't want me here. So I left. Yeah, they were done with me. Oh, so creepy. That was my first ghost hunt, like official ghost hunt that was in my own haunted house. There are more EVPs to listen to as well, including the one where I say, I am all alone here. And then one of the spirits responds by saying, kiss me. A little cheeky of them, don't you think? Please check out Amy Keeps It Creepy on YouTube and let me know what you think. It's going to be up on Thursday on my YouTube channel, Toxic Content. I am running a giveaway for the whole month of February. If you leave a written review of the podcast with a 5-star rating, I will mail you a selection of super creepy stickers. All you have to do is screenshot the review and email it to info@creepypodcast.com, and I will mail you free stickers. That's right, free Amy Keeps It Creepy stickers. They are brand new sticker designs, and they are so cool looking. One is of a Victorian woman drinking a poison tea brew that says, don't spill the tea. And there is a skeleton, one with headphones, and that's cool because it's green and glittery. I love it. And then there is a delicious looking pink cupcake one that has a skull on top instead of a cherry. I love them so much, and I really want to share them with you. I know you're going to leave me a review anyway, so you might as well do it now and get some cool stuff. Everyone loves stickers. I know I do. Especially creepy ones. So, leave a written review of the podcast with a 5-star rating, screenshot it, and email it to info@creepypodcast.com. I am sharing my favorite reviews with you every week, so please be creative. I would love to read your review on the podcast. This one I'm going to read to you now is from Jay Racer. They wrote, can I just say my skin is crawling? No joke, I can barely make it through an episode. I'm a grown man and I couldn't handle the creepy. Amy gets in your head and makes me see images. And that's what gets me. Gonna have a stiff drink now. Bravo. Oh my God, what an excellent review. Hard to top that one. I can definitely retire now. Thank you so much, Jay Racer. I'm glad I creeped you out and got into your head. All of this info will be on my website, creepypodcast.com. I'm on Instagram where I post every day at creepypodcast. And don't forget to subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcasts or wherever you podcast so you never miss an episode. I promise to creep you out. Since this is a creepy podcast, what better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than with a creepy couples episode? This is my first creepy couples Valentine's special, and I intend to have one every year. Because let's face it, there is no end to the creepy couples out there. Here are some of my faves. A 28-year-old Korean man, Lee Jin-gyu, fell in love and married his pillow. Yes, you heard right, his pillow. Now, I must say, she is cute. In Japan, they have these things called dakimakura, which are large, huggable pillows with images of hot anime characters printed on one side of the pillow. Now, they even make pillowcases made for these things to hide them from prying eyes during the day. But at night, people are encouraged by the makers of these dakimakuras to get to know them in a special, intimate way, should you choose. Oh, wow. I wish I was making this up. Lee Jin-gyu's pillow had an image of Fate Testarossa, a popular anime character. Well, Fate was fitted with a wedding dress, and the service was performed by a local priest. what priest married them?
The newlyweds honeymooned at an amusement park. Naturally. I wish I was making this up. I really do. I have images to prove it. Actual wedding photos of the happy couple. Posted on creepypodcast.com. But this is the thing, guys. I never knew this before, but there are a lot of people that fall in love with inanimate objects. Objectophilia, or object sexuality, refers to individuals who tend to develop strong romantic attachments or bonds with objects or structures. Now, these people are oftentimes isolated types who often have histories of child abuse and prefer one-sided relationships. I guess a building is a perfect match then. There are people who get the hots for a building. There is an American named Erica Eiffel. Yes, she assumed her husband's name. She is married to the Eiffel Tower. There is another creepy chick married to a train station in San Diego. The one that disturbed me is the creepy chick named Amy Wolf Weber, a church organist from Pennsylvania who married an 80-foot roller coaster. She claims they dated for over 10 years and had over 2,000 rides together before they got married. She says that she orgasms every time she takes a ride. Was that too much information? Incidentally, she says that she gets jealous whenever another woman gets on and takes a ride on her roller coaster husband. Uh-huh. This is real. And in all of these creepy couple photos I found, the people are like all up on their spouse objects. They are passionate photos. It's kind of awkward. I mean, it's very awkward, guys. But I have it up there if you want to see creepypodcast.com. In all of these cases, the people claim that their marriages have been consummated. And some even claim to have active sex lives. Oh, wow. I'm sure the janitors at these locations are absolutely thrilled with objectophiles giving them extra cleanup duties after one of these dates. So, not part of their job description. A lot of the men who have objectophilia seem to fall in love with cars. There is this one guy in England named Edward Smith. His current girlfriend is a white Volkswagen Beetle named Vanilla. She's pretty cute too, as far as cars go. I have a picture of the creepy couple. And again, he's like pressed up on her with his crotch. Smith claims that he's never been attracted to people and started falling in love and having sex with cars at the age of 15. He has had sex with over 1,000 cars. What a slut. And get this. Most of the cars that he's humped have either been at car shows, at auto dealerships, or just random strangers' vehicles. He claims to have done most of his neighbor's cars. Oh God, that's wrong. You find your neighbor rubbing himself off on your car. And I wonder if he has like favorite positions, like against the windshield or maybe from the rear bumper. Yeah, I went there. Objectophiliacs fall in love with all kinds of things. The list goes on and on. I mean, I read accounts of people falling in love with chandeliers, toilets, statues, dolls, and even a pork sandwich. Oh yeah, the dolls. My creepsters, that is a whole podcast episode in itself that is on my short list. The things people do with their dolls will creep you out forever. Remember, some things you can't unhear or unsee. I have pictures. Everything I'm talking about today is on the website, creepypodcast.com, to satisfy your morbid curiosity. You know you want to look. Without a doubt, some of the creepiest couples are in relationships with unliving things. But what about people who couple up with the unliving, the recently deceased? Or in some cases, not so recently deceased. There are corpse bride cases throughout history. A Thai man named Shadil Duffy married 29-year-old Serena Kamsuk, the deceased love of his life, in a combination funeral wedding ceremony. They had been together for 10 years and had postponed their intended wedding several times due to the fact that Duffy wanted to complete his education before getting married. Good idea, I get it. But that plan ended when Serena died tragically from injuries sustained in a car accident. Injuries that possibly could have been fixed had she not waited in an overcrowded emergency room for 6 hours. Her heartbroken fiancé married Serena at a funeral parlor on national TV. The spectacle got pretty good ratings, too. I watched it. It's disturbing. You see him try to jam the wedding ring on her rigor mortis finger. What's even creepier, though, is that they dressed her up in a white satin short shorts, nylons, and a garter belt. A little too sexy for your wedding outfit. A nice gift for your Valentine, perhaps, but definitely too sexy for funeral attire. But Duffy married his fiancée despite her living status. Who says true love never dies? I'll let you be the judge after you hear my next story. One of my all-time favorite creepy stories that I have been dying, forgive the pun, to share with you since I started the podcast. Here goes. To German immigrant Karl von Kossel, who liked to be known as Karl Tanzler, the ideal woman was literally heaven sent. He claimed that when he was a child, his late ancestor, Countess Anna Constantia von Kossel, appeared to him in a vision, revealing to him the face of his one true love, a dark-skinned, dark-haired beauty. It was love at first sight and spurned a lifelong obsession to meet this dream love. Now, the Countess had an interesting story herself, being the mistress of the 18th century King Augustus II of Poland. When the king grew tired of the feisty and headstrong Countess, he had her exiled, where she remained until her death 49 years later. Historically, the Kossel family seemed to be haunted by bad luck. Tanzler carried the memory of the dream woman into his adult life, even after getting married and fathering two children with a woman who didn't quite fit the description of his true love. He never let go of the dream that his soulmate was still out there, waiting to be found. Then in 1930, while Tanzler was working as a radiologist at the U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West, Florida, he met a patient, Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, a Cuban-American woman whose dark hair and lovely features matched those of the woman in his dreams. He instantly became obsessed with her. Now, I will remind you, Tanzler was already married with two daughters. Elena was dying of tuberculosis. There was no cure at the time, with a high mortality rate, a certain death sentence. Her family could not afford to get her all the treatments available. Now, Tanzler had lived through the Victorian era in Europe, where death was even considered fashion, and a woman was the most beautiful when she was on the brink of death. Twisted, but true. Victorians described consumption as an illness that heightened the elegance and refinement of its victim. It was tragically beautiful to waste away with pallor and fragility. Elena would soon become the object of Tanzler's very morbid obsession. Tanzler had a little game. He pretended to be a doctor and offered to take care of Elena from her home. So wrong. This dude was a radiologist. He would steal equipment from the hospital and bring it over along with gifts and money for the family. The dude even stole an x-ray machine. Not an easy feat walking out of a hospital with an x-ray machine. Elena was only 21 at the time, and Tanzler was 53. And it wasn't like he was the hot older guy playing Prince Charming Doctor. He was not a looker. He would constantly tell her how much he loved her, but of course, she did not reciprocate his feelings. I'm sure this made for extremely awkward medical examinations by Tansler. He then went behind her back and asked her family for Elena's hand in marriage. They didn't say no, but they didn't say yes either, just to keep Tansler around. He was giving them money and gifts, and he was acting as a personal doctor to Elena. This could only be a good thing, right? The family also knew a little secret of Elena's. She was already married. Elena had married a man in Cuba when she was just 16. Shortly after Elena miscarried the couple's child, she moved to Miami with her family. However, Elena was still legally married. So on top of the fact that both of them were married to other people, English was the second language for both of them. So it's questionable how much they were actually able to get to know one another. I'm thinking not at all. This one-sided infatuation was so strong, though. Tansler tried experiments on her with things he stole from the hospital in his attempts to heal her. But for all we know, he could have made things even worse. Yeah, I'm thinking his BS medical expertise on tuberculosis definitely contributed to Elena's eventual demise. Like some weirdo mad scientist, Tansler conjured up odd concoctions, potions, tonics, elixirs, and herbs in order to treat Elena's TB. Yeah, and I'm sure he wanted to rub it all over her chest too, right? Such a creep. He even paid for experimental treatments. Her family just went with it, ignoring the fact that this much, much older man was acting just a wee bit obsessive and creepy. Tansler continued love-bombing Elena with gifts, professing his undying love, all the while telling her that he would love her and care for her, even if she died. Elena never reciprocated Tansler's romantic feelings and turned down his proposals of marriage. I think it's important to note because she never consented, ever. She did not want to be with this creepy dude. Tansler simply did not care and continued indulging himself in unrequited love. And Elena's family let it happen. Tansler wrote in his journal how he had hopes that, despite the extensive damage, the lesions would heal again. I had hopes that when Elena was out of danger, we would get married. As long as she lived, I never abandoned hope. That was a quote. Sadly, Elena died at the age of 22. Tansler became distraught. He immediately commissioned a death mask of her face. Yeah, that's not weird or anything. But I actually have a death mask of myself from a film I did called Sorority House Massacre. They made me into this mannequin for a dream sequence. It was cool. The special effects guys were just going to throw the mask away when we wrapped, and I saved it. I scooped it out of the trash and took it home. Hey, I worked hard for that thing. Taking an impression of your face is not fun, especially if you are kind of claustrophobic like me. They put Vaseline all over your face, and then they cover you in plaster. You are covered, except for two straws stuck in your nose so you don't suffocate. And then you are totally at the mercy of the special effects artist to not kill you. All you can do is just lay there, and it's super cold and uncomfortable, and you hear random people around you walking around taking photos of you at your most vulnerable, all while telling you to relax or we'll have to do it over again. Yeah, I have it. It's in storage somewhere. I have a lot of stuff in that storage unit, including, oh man, I have boxes of old fan mail that I have. I don't throw it out because a lot of them are from prison. And, you know, just in case I get murdered, I need evidence. There are some psycho ones, let me tell you. Meet me at CPK in 6 years when I get parole. I'll be holding a red rose for you. Yeah, I'll be there, dude. The ones including selfies drawn of themselves in crayon scare me the most, though. Yeah. But Elena's family was not scared of Tanzler. With permission from Elena's family, he paid for the funeral, which included an elaborate above-ground mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery for his number one crush. And he insisted on an airtight casket with an incubator tank full of formaldehyde to prevent decay. Hello, red flag. The mausoleum, it looked like a tiny home, more than a crypt. It had a tiny door in the front with rounded corners and a lock. And guess who had possession of the only key? Yeah, that's right. Tanzler had a special key made for himself so he could come and go as he pleased. And he was there every night. He said her spirit routinely popped up to say hello and sing to him. Weird, right? Well, things are about to get even weirder. Tanzler spent hours at Elena's grave every day, talking to her corpse, singing to her, reading stories, and pumping her full of fresh formaldehyde to keep her fresh. God only knows what else he pumped her full of. This went on for 2 years. Eventually, this was not enough. Tanzler claimed Elena began talking to him from the other side, telling him she was afraid of decaying and rotting. So, one night in 1933, he removed her body from the mausoleum, loaded it into a child's red wagon, and carted it back home. This, my creepsters, is where his obsession took an even more macabre turn. He had built a makeshift laboratory inside of an old airplane. There, he resurrected his lost love with the help of papier-mâché, mortician's wax, and rags. Elena's family soon became puzzled when creepy Tanzler stopped visiting her grave, but they just assumed that he had finally moved on. Little did they know. Tanzler wrote in his memoirs, quote, "Elena, my darling, we are alone on this shore. He who has given you to me will not reject our souls, united as they are in his undying love." Strong words of love from a man who was already technically rejected by Elena multiple times. Now that she was dead, she could not protest. Her body belonged to him. He stole it. By this time, our girl Elena's body isn't holding up too well, though. Ever wonder how to keep your dead girlfriend's body fresh? Well, here's what Tanzler did. He inserted glass eyes into her orbitals and used piano wire and coat hangers to keep her together. Her decomposing skin was replaced with silk cloth soaked in wax. And the maggots? Those annoying pesky critters that really like dead flesh? Tanzler simply picked them off and used perfumes and preserving agents to mask the smell and stop the rotting. But what about Elena's hair? The decomposition process had caused her hair to fall out. This next part is even stranger. For some reason, Elena's mother possessed a wig made out of her daughter's hair. I don't even know what to say about that. And she gifted this to Tanzler. And why the hell would she gift anything to this creepy guy? Especially her daughter's hair? Seriously? Something was wrong with that family. Tanzler keeps Elena's body in his bed. All right, here we go. Now the big question I am sure you are asking yourself, the question my creepy mind went to, the necrophilia question, did he or didn't he? Okay, I'm going to give you the facts, let you decide. Tanzler had inserted a paper tube, like the toilet paper cardboard tube or paper towel tube. I don't know the size he was going for, but he inserted this tube into the corpse's vaginal canal to facilitate intercourse. And he set it in wax, like creepy mortician's wax that can be sculpted and formed. Oh! I told you, some things you can't unhear or unsee. I have pictures on creepypodcast.com. Not of the Franken vagina, but of all the other stuff, the body and stuff. The body preservation. Oh. In Tanzler's autobiography, he does confess to kissing and cuddling Elena's cadaver. He slept with the body in his bed, but he kept a curtain between them because he says he was an extreme gentleman. Uh-huh. It isn't very far off to believe that necrophilia played a major role in this relationship, this twisted romance. We'll never know for sure, but I'm thinking he lifted the creepy curtain more than a few times. The hospital had their eye on Tanzler. They were on to him about the stolen supplies and the weird behavior. He lost his job. Tanzler lived alone with the corpse of Elena in his remote shack, which also housed his laboratory. Of course, this creepy dude had a laboratory for his experiments in keeping his cadaver lover from decaying. Oh, man. Can you imagine the smell? This is going on years, years. 7 years he slept next to the corpse of Maria. I retch at the smell of hot dogs that are past their sell date. This is a human being. That's a big hot dog. Tanzler had to continuously preserve Elena's decaying body, and mummification isn't easy. It must have been a full-time occupation. Tanzler constantly had to apply disinfectants, deodorizer, and formaldehyde to counteract the smell of putrefaction. He was also still playing the role of good sugar daddy by buying his corpse bride gifts, clothing, and perfume. Tanzler had basically abandoned his wife and children and was more content living with a dead body than a live woman. For some reason, his wife Doris took pity on him and regularly mailed him money to help him survive his destitute situation. He used most of these funds on dead Maria. I wonder if good old Doris would have continued sending those welfare checks to her deadbeat husband if she knew the depravity he was engaging in. Tanzler was often seen shopping for women's clothing, jewelry, and perfumes. People just assumed Tanzler was seeing someone new and had finally moved on. Eventually, though, people started asking questions. Especially when a boy saw him dancing with a giant doll through the window of his creepy love shack. Elena's sister heard the rumors and went to Tanzler's shack to check it out. Tanzler happily showed off Elena's body to her sister, or what was left of it, in his bedroom. She must have been horrified. But she didn't quite know what she was looking at. The sister thought the bizarre thing she was looking at was a wax dummy of her sister. Couldn't she smell it? My God. Police were called in and soon learned the unbelievable truth. It wasn't a doll, but a corpse. And furthermore, authorities were baffled to find the DIY vagina. Yeah, I bet. I guess Tanzler happily showed them that as well. His handiwork. It was never officially said that Tanzler actually did anything with Elena, but come on, it seems pretty obvious. He was charged with wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. But the statute of limitations saved him from prosecution. Why do we have statutes of limitations? I will never understand. At the very least, they should have gotten him on the necrophilia charge. I have zero doubt that he was regularly getting it on with his macabre creation. Yeah. Surprisingly, a psychiatric evaluation by the court found Tanzler to be mentally competent. This was even after a hearing where he talked about the spaceship. Oh, yeah, that's right. He had built a spaceship. I posted the picture. He called this Elena's airship. Tanzler believed that if he took Elena's body into space, the radiation would bring her back to life. Kind of like electricity running through Frankenstein's monster. Of course, he would never be able to have the technology to bring it into space. This was years before the first man would even walk on the moon. Okay, let's pretend that space radiation really does bring back the dead. Formaldehyde, wire, glass eyes, and rags might make it a little tougher. Just saying. Elena's mummified remains were put on display at Dean Lopez's funeral home. The case was now the center of a media circus. 6,800 spectators went to gawk at the horrific spectacle, paying $1 each for the privilege. Lovely. I wonder how much Elena's family made off of that. They were ever so willing to use her illness to make a little on the side from an obsessive sicko playing doctor. This was so huge at the time. Local schools even let out early so kids could be scarred for life. Oh, Florida. You and your creepiness. At the time, Tanzler never received public backlash for his horrific behavior. Many people misunderstood the story to be that an elderly man refused to bury his wife and just lived with her body. Some people actually thought that was kind of romantic rather than psychotic. Emboldened by public support, Tanzler asked if he could have Elena's body back. Of course he did. Well, thankfully, some semblance of decency prevailed and his request was denied. Elena was reburied in a secret, unmarked grave to deter Tanzler from disturbing her eternal rest and to avoid another toy wagon trip to the laboratory. All that was left of her fit in an 18-inch coffin. Tanzler went back to his wife. What a creepy bitch she was. She must have known what dirty deeds her husband had been up to and where he had been putting it. So gross. But before moving back with wifey Doris, Tanzler dynamite bombed the mausoleum he had created for Elena as a way to show authorities what wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave really looks like. And he didn't get arrested for that? It's bananas to me. Not surprisingly, he was still obsessed with his lost love. He used the forensic death mask he had previously done of Elena as the basis for a life-sized doll, which he kept in his bed until his death in July 1952. Now, some accounts of Tanzler's death claim his body was actually found in the arms of the dummy. His body was not discovered until 3 weeks after his death. Ironically, the man who prevented Elena from decomposing was himself rotting alone for several weeks. The obituary recounted a metal cylinder on a shelf above a table was found to include some weird waxen effigy wrapped in silken cloth and a robe. It was widely speculated that Tanzler had Maria's remains secretly returned to him and that he died with the real body of Elena. I don't know. It's possible. It's possible he's so crazy. From 1930 to 1952, Tanzler had endlessly obsessed over this woman. For nearly 22 years, she had been the focus of his life. Alive and dead. To some, it is the ultimate romance. And to others, it is a grotesque tale of violation. Instead of a depraved necrophiliac, I mean, that's how I see him for sure, some people see Tanzler as a lonely and sad romantic. The so-called love story was even adapted into a musical. It's a crazy story. One you are not likely to forget. I will leave you with this tidbit of advice. If a creepy radiologist is ever obsessed with you and wants to pay for your funeral, your answer should be no. you liked what you heard today, please subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy. In the month of February, if you leave a written review and a 5-star rating, you will get free creepy stickers. Simply screenshot a review and email it to info@creepypodcast.com, along with your name and mailing address. All of my giveaways are posted on my website, creepypodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
Toxic content.